Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In his goodness and mercy, God has called us to be his people. He has forgiven our sins. He richly and daily supplies our needs. He has set before us the promise of eternal life with him in heaven. All this is ours by his grace to us through Jesus our Savior. This goodness and mercy of God calls for a response from each of us. Daily we strive to live lives that are pleasing to God according to his word and his commandments. Cheerfully we submit to his gracious will for our lives. And faithfully we strive to do the work that God has given us to do. That work is summarized for us in the Great Commission. Our Lord Jesus expressed the Great Commission in various ways in different parts of the ends of the Gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said, "Preach the good news to all creation. Make disciples of all nations. Be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." Preaching, making disciples, witnessing, this is our task. This is the job that our Lord has given us to do during our pilgrimage here in this world. This is the great work of the church in every age. The importance of this commission is clear. Apart from the gospel, apart from that good news of forgiveness of sins through Jesus, there is no salvation. Apart from Jesus, there is no hope. Our Lord Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way to life. There is no other way. As the Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 4, before that same ruling council of the Jewish elders that we read about the Apostle Paul testifying before in our second lesson today, Peter said this, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Apart from Jesus, there is no salvation. The urgency of this commission is also clear. Generations are born, they live, and they die. While we live, each member of a generation has an opportunity to hear about Jesus and to believe in him, to find salvation in him. But when a generation passes away, it has no more time. Then comes judgment and eternity. The point is this: no one can reach our generation with the gospel except us who are part of this generation. No one can bear witness to our generation except you and me and others who are members of it. We cannot simply leave this task to our children or our grandchildren to accomplish. When we are gone, our generation will be gone too. We are the only ones who can reach the men and women and children living today with the good news of Jesus, the good news about God's love for mankind. The time to confess Christ and to share the Christian faith is right now. And since the majority of our generation is without Christ, our task is truly a great one. But there's a problem. As we face our Great Commission and seek to do it, we run into difficulties. First, there's the problem of our own attitude. The people who need to hear and to believe the gospel are not always willing to hear it. Many don't want to hear. Many are indifferent to the message of God's word. And some are even hostile to this message. The temptation for us, therefore, is to say, "Well, if that's how people feel about it, then forget it. Why bother? Why even say anything at all if they don't want to hear it? live and let live. Let them go their own way. The shepherd might have felt that way about his lost sheep. He might have said, if that sheep doesn't want to stay with the flock, well, just let it go. If it refuses my care, then let it tend for itself. But the shepherd didn't say that. That was not his attitude. Rather, he left the 99 sheep of the flock in the pasture, and he went looking for that one lost sheep until he found it. That needs to be our attitude also. Our task is to keep looking, to keep seeking for those lost ones as long as we can, in spite of however they may react to our seeking love for them. To live and let live is never enough. Our commitment is to live and to help live for eternal life. The best way to help others live is by sharing the gospel with them. Our first problem is one of our attitude. The other problem is one of fear. To preach the gospel always invites ridicule and scorn. To acknowledge Christ in some parts of our world is even to invite persecution, imprisonment, or perhaps even death. It's always been like that. Our Lord Jesus himself was ridiculed and scorned. He himself was persecuted and put to death. Few of the apostles died peacefully in old age. Paul preached the gospel to the world of his day, and he described the world's reaction to him and to other messengers of the gospel in this way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world. It is no different today. We live in a society where people insist on their right to do their own thing, no matter what God says. We live among people who pride themselves on their sophistication. The claims of Christ and the message of the gospel is simply ignored by many of these people. To speak to them about Jesus is sometimes to invite trouble. Even sometimes to live among them in a truly genuine Christian manner is to invite ridicule and scorn. Well, knowing that can certainly make us afraid. And in our fear, we are tempted to remain silent, to hide the light of God's love under a bushel, or to be a secret disciple. Many of us subconsciously pattern our lives after those of Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea, both of whom were disciples of Jesus, but both secretly because they feared the leaders of the Jewish people. We fear other things, but our fear often has the same effect. It often prevents us from confessing our faith in Jesus by word and by deed. It often prevents us from fulfilling the Great Commission, the commission that our Lord has given to us. Now, the Lord Jesus knows about all these things. He knows our weaknesses, our sometimes bad attitudes, our faithless fears and worries. His own disciples had such things too. The words of our text were spoken to the disciples to meet those very needs. Listen again to what Jesus said. Do not be afraid of them. Jesus is talking about the name callers, those who insisted that he was casting out demons not in the name of the true God, but in the name of Beelzebul, who is a false god of the Canaanite people, or even Satan himself. Why not be afraid of such people? Because, as Jesus says, there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, and nothing hidden that will not be made known. On Judgment Day, everything that happens now will be seen for what it really is and for what it is really worth. Our Lord is telling us to take the long view of things, to see our life and our Great Commission from a viewpoint of eternity. He is saying to his disciples and to us, hold fast to your faith and make a cheerful confession of it. In the long view, our faith and the blessings that it brings is the most important possession that we have in our lives. And our Great Commission to preach and to share the gospel is the most important work that we have to do in our lives. On Judgment Day, both our confession and our faith will be rewarded. The name callers and the unbelievers, on the other hand, will be condemned because of their unbelief. So, as Jesus says, don't be afraid of them. Jesus goes on, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. This is simply another form of the Great Commission, another description of the task that God has given to us. The Word of God, which is read and studied in private here in within the walls of our church or at home in our private or family devotions, that Word of God is to be proclaimed and shared in public. The gospel that we hear here in church on Sunday, in Bible class and in Sunday school, is to be lived out in our lives and proclaimed throughout the whole world. Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The worst that the unbelieving world can do is to take away our physical life. But what the world cannot do is to destroy our soul, our true eternal life. It cannot rob us of the peace and joy that we have in God in knowing his love for us through Jesus. We have the terrible power to be able to choose to throw away those blessings from God. But no one else can take them away from us. The worst that the world can do is to impose what Paul once called light and momentary suffering. But what is that compared to the eternal weight of glory that is to be ours in the world to come, in heaven forever with our God? So don't be afraid of those name callers, and don't be afraid of the unbelieving world around us. When they have done their very worst, they still cannot separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground without the knowledge and consent of your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Here is a very positive and encouraging reason not to be afraid. God cares for us. Our Lord Jesus argues, if God cares for even sparrows, those tiny birds, will he not also even much more care for us, his own children? He has purchased us at great cost with the very lifeblood of his son Jesus. And so will he let us be destroyed by the forces of evil? Certainly not. So you see, we really have no reason at all to be afraid. Through Jesus, we belong to God. We belong to him body and soul, for time and for eternity. God's mercy is new to us every morning. His faithfulness continues throughout each day. His peace in Christ arches over everything in our lives like a rainbow, filling our hearts with joy. The better we understand this truth, the better we will be able, with God's help, to conquer our fears and to change our bad attitudes. Of course, after we have said all this, the fact remains then that to acknowledge Jesus and to confess his name still invites trouble and persecution. There is no escaping that fact, and our Lord Jesus does not try to escape it either. The force of his argument is similar to what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Yes, there may be suffering for the confessing Christian, perhaps even persecution and death. But also and always, there will be God's care and God's love. There will be God's presence and ultimately glory at his side in heaven. Our Lord speaks of this glory when he says in our reading, "Everyone who confesses me before others, I also will confess him before my Father who is in heaven." In his message to the church at Sardis in the book of Revelation, Jesus puts it this way, "The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels." That's what it's all about. Now we live for him, then we shall live with him forever. Now we walk by faith, then we shall see him face to face. Now the way is hard, filled with pain and suffering. Then it will be easy, filled with joy and gladness. So here is a way to look at our Great Commission. It comes from our wonderful God, who in mercy has called us to be his own and has crowned us with blessings, rich blessings throughout our whole lives. It's a terribly important commission because it involves eternal life or eternal death. It is a terribly urgent and great commission because time is running out and so many are still without Christ and without hope. And it may even be a terribly dangerous commission because it can lead us into persecution and perhaps even death. But it is our commission, given to us by our Heavenly Father. And with this commission comes also his provision and his promise. He promises not to leave us alone. He has assured us that he is with us to love and to care for us. He has given us his Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us, to enable us and to empower us. What an exciting challenge this is. We have a life to live, a life to live for our Savior. We have a generation of people to gain for Jesus. Therefore, let us cling to his promise. Let's rely on his provision. And let's cheerfully get on with the task that he has given us to do. Ours is a challenge and a privilege to preach the gospel and to share the good news. May God bless us and help us to do this boldly, simply, and plainly, today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.